Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, and welcome to Eating Fried Chicken and Chow bonus episode. As always, I'm joined by clinical psychologist Saab Jahal. Kia ora.
Kia ora, James.
My friend, I'd like to ask about trauma today, which we've talked about a lot, but I wanted to ask you, does trauma always have to heal?
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? It depends upon what we mean by heal. Okay, so one of the things that we want to understand is the traumatic experience that you've been through alive in your life? Is it stopping you from doing things that you want to do and achieve in your life? Is it constantly causing you distress? Because if it's not doing either of those two things, and you seem to be able to live alongside that trauma, it's never gone, but it's not stopping you from doing things, then if we think about it as almost like a wound that is part of you and that you can still see the scar, right? But it's healed to a certain extent in that you can still see the scar, but it's not openly bleeding or causing you trouble. It may be sensitive, and if somebody presses upon it, then you certainly shy away and you maybe don't want to go there. But if you're getting on with life, then, you know, sometimes we have to ask ourselves, you know, do we really want to unpick that and get into the wound and uncover things that have kind of are okay for us right now that enable us to get on with life?
Is it a bit like the relationship, you know, we always talk about mental and physical ailments. Is it a bit like a relationship you might have with going to see a doctor if you're not sure? I'm thinking of the listeners going, oh, I think I'm all right with my trauma, but maybe it's worth having a look. Is it as simple as just going in and trying to get an appointment and get someone to just check you out?
Yeah, there's no harm in just trying to say, look, these are the sorts of things that I'm noticing that are coming up for me, maybe in your relationships. Maybe it is that you've seen a bit of a pattern that, you know, it gets to a certain point and then it's hard for you, or certain things come up in your relationship, or you find yourself in an unsafe environment where it's feeling like it's triggering quite a lot of past unsafe experiences that are suddenly alive again in your life. Yeah. Then in that case, then yeah, that's worth exploring maybe a little more, but don't be too quick and just be a little bit gentle with yourself in terms of getting in too quickly, because, you know, often we have our own internal healing processes that are hard to put language around, but enable us to get into getting on with our lives. So we don't want to be too quick to unpick all of that work that we may have done.
Just on a point there of leaving toxic or traumatic relationships, you know, whenever you see it in the films, is often the classic, you know, 2 years later or a couple of weeks later or several months, but they never seem to show, you know, the process there. And I'm wondering, like, are there things people can look out for, or is there the things people need to be aware of for themselves, of signs that it might be a good time to look at leaving a traumatic relationship?
There's all kinds of difficult relationships that people might want to leave in their lives. You know, one of them is kind of like your family. You know, if it's a family that there was a lot of mistreatment, misunderstanding, or even, you know, sadism and hurt, deliberate hurt that kind of like overtakes any kind of tenderness in your family. If your home seems like an unsafe place, then yeah, it's probably good for you to consider getting out. But often we think about things like romantic relationships, and we can actually underestimate how difficult it is to cut ties with friendships. It can be much more painful actually than ending a romantic relationship, because with a partner you expect there to be kind of intense feelings maybe, but friends, they can pack a surprising amount of emotional baggage that you didn't even notice you might have been carrying around. And then suddenly you might get to a point where you're like, maybe your friend is, you know, flouting some pretty clear boundaries. You've asked them not to talk about something or not to do something because it's hard for you, and they constantly go there, or they're lying or breaking your trust. Or maybe they're steering you down a bit of a one-way street. It's feeling like it's all about them. You're devoting way more time and effort to the relationship, the friendship, than you're getting out of it. Or maybe they're kind of, they've got to a point where they're just consistently negative around you and they're just bringing you down, or you feel an obligation to be a friend with them, whereas working at one phase in your life and not in another, then yeah, these are all signs that, yeah, this perhaps this friendship isn't working for you anymore. And it can be difficult to break apart.
You know, that feeling of obligation you were talking about, I think about, you know, I was quite fortunate. My parents divorced when I was young, really young. And I say fortunate because it then created a safe space for a lot of my mates whose parents were going through divorce in their teens and that. And it looked like a situation where, oh, I think your parents should have broken up ages ago, but they stayed together. And, you know, you often hear, I didn't want it to fail. I didn't want the relationship to fail. Is there anything people can do? I'm thinking about when you're just with a friendship, even when you feel you've put so much into this friendship, so much into this relationship, that if it ends, even though it might be healthier for you, you feel like you're a failure.
Yeah. And that's definitely real. It can feel like somehow you are letting somebody else down with your side of the relationship. But I think it's good to get sometimes an external pair of eyes on, you know, what's going on there. Because sometimes your other friends may actually look at that relationship and they'll say things like, well, why are you hanging out with them? Because they're constantly doing you down, or they're constantly taking from you. They don't seem to be giving much to this relationship. Tell me more about how you ended up being friends with this person. And I think one of the things that, you know, kids are really good at is, you know, they're friends and they make friends really easily, but they also kind of move on without enmity, right? Without necessarily anger, but there's a recognition that, you know, maybe we've moved apart a little bit in terms of, you know, what we're interested in, or our values, or the shared lens in which we view the world isn't so shared anymore, right? So all of these things, again, are signs. But, you know, avoiding that kind of hostility or aggression, these sorts of things are not ways that you want to kind of go about, you know, restructuring or maybe even ending a friendship. That way is going to lead to trouble.
What are the kind of psychological dangers that we're talking about here of staying in these kind of situations?
Yeah, I think there's a few different things, right? So if you feel like your friends, maybe they might make immoral requests from you, right? They ask you to lie on their behalf, right? So then you start getting dragged into a mire of behavior that doesn't sit well with your values, right? Mm. Or maybe they ask you to kind of like even just inflict wrong on another person. Again, it might start with something small or inconsequential, but then suddenly you're kind of like you and your friend versus another group of friends, and you're into this kind of like confrontational, even vicious sometimes, you know. And sometimes it's hard to be able to kind of see that that's going on. But then when you see that that's going on, how do you get yourself out of this situation again?
The final thing I'd like to ask you about is once you've left, and again, this is why I say I'm fortunate my parents divorced when I was young, because they also taught me about building new communities and making new friendship groups, because they moved around a bit. And it's something I've always enjoyed doing when I travel the world, is making a little community in whatever festival situation I set up in. But to shrink that down to just, you know, people's more personal experiences of moving to a new place, what are we looking for? What's happening upstairs when we're trying to like build a new little tribe?
Yeah. So for many people, the first thing might be safety. Yeah. You know, they may have left wherever it was because it felt unsafe for them. So when they are trying to build a new friendship circle or find their tribe, wherever it is that they are, often there's a little bit of trying out in terms of, you know, what's my level of safety here? Or maybe you're looking for something a little bit more edgy. You know, so, you know, there's that kind of like risk and exposure to perhaps new ideas, as well as, you know, something comforting, something that intersects with, you know, what it is that you've done before. But often you're looking for, you know, at my stage in life and what it is that I'm interested in doing in right now, then who else that I can find that's open to building a friendship based around those sorts of shared interests or shared ways of looking at the world, not only now, but perhaps, you know, as we think about the future too. You know, these are the ways that, you know, friendships evolve, and you find people who you're going to want to stick around and connect with in the future too. You know, these are not easy things to do, particularly if you're trying them out later in life. But at any age, you know, it's the sort of thing that you have to kind of persist with and get to know people a little bit better.
That word persistence, is it okay, you know, as an adult or as an older adult to be in these situations and for them to be taking their time? You know, they have to be quick or instantaneous, you know, go along to one social meeting and boom, new best friends. You know, like, is it okay for these things to be drawn out?
Yeah, it's kind of like dating, right? It's like you have to kind of, you have to go on quite a few dates before you start to figure out who it is that you might be attracted to, or who it is that you might meet that you might want to take it to second or third date. It's a bit similar with friendships too, in that you are kind of trying each other out, and you have to be in a space where perhaps friendships being developed is something that's on the agenda. So, you know, sometimes you find yourself meeting people, but they're kind of not really in the space of thinking about that interaction in that way. And you end up on the acquaintanceship loop for a little while before you go and do something that suddenly you get an insight into their deeper character, where you take the friendship onto the next step.
Clinical psychologist Saab Jahel, my friend, always a pleasure.
You too, James. Take care.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.